Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show I have a good friend of mine and somebody that I've been going back and forth with on social media forever. We finally got to hang out in person, I think last year, in Boston at the Westin Hotel there. And it was that trip where I really, although I'd lived in Boston as a young child, I really fell in love just with Boston as a city. And of course, that hotel in particular, and some of the food that they offer, that's a whole other story. But we welcome to the show today, Chris Heisler. And I hope I'm saying his name correctly. He's had to tell me how to pronounce it a million times. But Chris is the National Run Concierge with Westin Hotels and Resorts. Westin is a really cool program about, you know, running, really. It's called Run Westin. And Chris is the Run Westin Concierge. He's a Philadelphia native, sub-3-hour marathoner who beat out 1,000 candidates for this job in a nationwide search that Westin did in 2013. Ever since, he's been at the helm of the brand's renowned running program, from curating running programs to leveraging strategic partnerships such as Rock and Roll Marathon Series. Chris brings energy and insights to guests' running needs. I can tell you from my own experience just hanging out with Chris in person and, again, chatting with him via social, he's certainly more than just somebody who has a career that focuses on running. He's somebody that's very passionate about running, but also really knowledgeable. And in this interview, we talk about tips for beginning runners, some of the myths when people think, oh, I can't be a runner if I'm not a marathoner, if I'm not, you know, racing. But, you know, he has a passion for running. And like so many of the runners that inspired me to start, I sometimes apologize and say, oh, I'm not really a runner, because I run very randomly. I don't like to do marathons. I will do the occasional 5K. But Chris was really cool about, you know, his answer to people like me that tend to apologize and go, I'm not really a runner. We're all runners. And as somebody who is as accomplished as he is, to be as modest and helpful as he is towards other people that are just getting started, it's very, very impressive. And I think the world of him. And I also, frankly, think that what Westin is doing with their running program is awesome. My first job out of college was at a hotel. And I have been very passionate, even before I founded Fitfluential, in trying to help those folks that are road warriors, people that are traveling for business on a regular basis, being able, you know, how do we get them to understand you can fit in fitness on the road? And we at Fitfluential plan to focus heavily on a travel fit program. So I was really impressed to see what Westin's doing for its guests, so that when you check into one of their hotels, you actually can connect with locals and go running with running guides. So there's a safety thing going on there. You get to see locally what's going on instead of winging it and maybe ending up in a non-safe area. I think it's just awesome. So tune in, listen to this chat about running, getting started, some of the myths, and, you know, how it can potentially change your life if you like it. And we'd love to hear if you have any questions. And certainly I can definitely tell you that Chris will be back on the show again soon. So for now, sit down and enjoy this interview with Chris Heisler. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm here with my friend, and I'm so glad. This is for everybody listening that he told me. I asked him as we started to record, Chris, I said, how do I pronounce your last name? And he's like, it's just like Chrysler. So Chris Heisler. And I would never have pronounced it. I was like, and our friends that were scheduling you, they, I'm just going to tell you this because people butcher Olexa all the time, Chris. And when they send that they said, well, Chris from Run Westin is scheduled and he's confirmed. And Tommy, who scheduled you, he said, Chris, Huesler, and I'm like, I don't even know how to pronounce it. So that's a great tagline. But welcome to the show. Are you ready to go?
Let's have some fun, Kelly Alexa.
That was brilliant. Well played.
Thank you.
So I'm really, really, first of all, I'm honored that you're on the show. I still remember the first time we hung out in person up in Boston, and
Boston
I mentioned that when we started. That was such an awesome trip. I'd never been downtown Boston. For those of you who maybe have only visited Boston or whatever, you've got to get downtown. Of course, I stayed. Major props. I stayed at the Westin. Amazing hotel. If you go to the library alone, that's worth the trip. And downtown Boston is just, after that trip, I just became obsessed. And, you know, I wasn't planning on asking you this. How long have you lived in Boston, Chris?
We've lived here 5 years now, but we live only like outside of downtown Boston. If I were to say I live in Boston, that's a little false. It's like 20 minutes outside of downtown.
I lived, I think I told you this, way when I was a little baby girl, 5 years old. We lived in North Andover. Oh. And I still remember coming home the day my sister was born, and the snow around our house was higher than I was. And I couldn't get in because they just shoveled and plowed. And the snow was taller than I was at age 5. So yeah, those are my memories of Boston. But you know, you said it's actually been pretty warm this year. So all of us with crazy weather, who knows what it's going to be like. But so happy that you're on the show. And we are going to talk about running today and answer a lot of great questions because you're an epic runner and you've taught me a lot. We're going to talk about Run Westin, this amazing program you guys have been running for quite a while. And I want you to tell our listeners about that. But whenever I have someone on the show, Chris, for the first time, I always like to ask them, because I think it's pretty cool. We have such a diverse set of characters that have come on the show. How did you, and when did you first start pursuing for lack of a better way of saying it, fitness lifestyle? When did you get interested in activity? Was it more around athletics? Was it for a fitness reason? When was that and why? And when did you feel that you finally had really found your fitness? Like, this is my flow. This is what I love to do. This is what, you know, obviously you're an amazing runner and you have found your fitness. Did that happen right away? So that's a three-part question, but I'm going to let you roll with it.
All right. I mean, my answer may be disappointing because, to be totally candid, I started running because I put on my freshman 15 at Penn State. I mean, it's as simple as that. Now, before that, though, I was active. You know, I played soccer, in high school, but I really gravitated towards the stage. I was an actor for in high school and college and a little bit beyond. But after my freshman year, I put on those 15 pounds, and my girlfriend's father at the time, he was a runner. He's like, you should, you know, get out there and run. And I thought nothing of it. And like little by little, over the summer between my freshman and sophomore year, I gradually became what I would call a runner. And then my senior year in college, I ran my first marathon with my oldest brother. And that was a life-changing experience, which had led to, which is now 33 marathons later, this a love affair and journey with the sport. And it's constantly evolved. I mean, I don't look back at my reason to start running as like, oh my God, I can't believe that's why I started running. It just is what it is. And that's how I was brought into the sport, into the lifestyle of a runner. But it really was quite simple.
I think that's actually cool. And you know, what you just said about it's constantly evolved. Kelly, talk correctly today, and perhaps need some espresso. That to me is what the definition of find your fitness is, really. Yep. Because I was actually sharing this, a similar approach on my Instagram story yesterday. I'm like, what I'm starting to find that I like and that I'm drawn to now with my new trainer, Blaine, that I work with here in Austin, it's stuff that I never would have wanted to do 2 or 3 years ago. I was so set in my certain ways of training and the way that I ran, and everything is different. And so different phases of your life, different goals, different desires, that's to be expected. And that's what's cool, is there's always things that you can change and tweak and try out. We had somebody on the show last week, and she was like, and she's the most amazing, beautiful woman, registered dietitian, and she's like, you know what? I really like Zumba. And it was funny because it was almost like a true confession. Yeah. She's like, the truth is, it's a great, and I said, you know what? Who cares? If you love it, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. And for people that love running, if there are other people that are diehard CrossFitters and they can't stand running, don't make fun of runners. Like, respect that everybody does what makes them happy and what sets their, you know, soul on fire. So that's, I think that's really cool. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with starting to pursue something for losing weight. Let's get real. I think that's for most of us. And that's probably actually a good starting point for us to talk about running. I mean, obviously 33 marathons, damn, I still haven't even done one, but my, you know what, Chris, my happy running place is 30 minutes. That's and I know there's a whole slew of our listeners, and I think this is a good starting point for us to talk about running. There's a whole slew of listeners out there that are like me that love to run. We get so much from it, but we feel like we're not legit runners, or we can't call ourselves a runner, or we can't say, oh yeah, I'm a runner too, because we don't do marathons. And it seems like there's this whole like group of folks that don't do marathons or half marathons or maybe even the 5K, but they run all the time and they love it and it's changed their lives. They have that peace when they go out running, whether it's alone or with somebody. What do you think when people say that to you, when they're like, well, I'm not really a runner? Is the definition of a runner somebody that does a marathon?
No, not even close.
Frankly, that was an Oprah question.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree anymore with somebody who runs and says they're not a runner. It's just not really fair to yourself to say that. Had you asked me 10 years ago when I was sort of in my heyday of marathon running and really trying to run for a specific time and frankly quite conceited about how I was as a runner, I may have said different. I may have said differently. But that is the journey of a runner. And you don't have to run a race to be a runner. You don't have to sign up for a 5K to be a runner. You can go out and you run 20 minutes and that makes you feel good. I would put you in the category of you like to run. But I'm also the first one to say, this took 20 years of running to come to this statement, but running is not the definition of who you are. Running does not define you. Yep. Running is what refines you. And that is a major distinction, because if I hear people say to me, I'm a runner, I'm like, great, what else are you? Because that's really what interests me more about people. The fact that they run can certainly make them a better person or more patient, less anxious, all these things. But by no means do I ever let somebody categorize themselves as just a runner. That's just not fair.
I absolutely love that quote. And I think you shared that quote with me when we first met. And I think I wrote it down at that time and I said, Chris, that needs to be a bumper sticker, and a coffee mug and a t-shirt line. So we'll talk about that separately, but that's an awesome quote, seriously. And I love what you said, because it absolutely makes sense. And I want to put that out there. I'm glad we brought it up, because a lot of people think that they're in this, it's like this lost generation of runners that they, that's what I want to address with podcasts like this, is I know what it's like to be that beginning runner where you start and you're like, this feels really good, but you have no idea. And you hear people online talking about things like fartleks, and I don't even know if I'm saying them correctly, and hill repeats and, you know, compression sleeves. And there's so many things that as you progress through a running journey, again, whether you go the marathon route or whether you just do 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 45 or an hour, whatever, that you don't know. And I just remember what it felt like, that until I connected with my friend Amy Burford and she took me to Dick's Sporting Goods and showed me how I had to get fitted for running shoes, I was just wearing whatever shoes I had. I didn't know why that was important. I didn't know that my problem with running was breathing. And so my question to you is, considering there's a lot of people like me when I first started running that had no idea what to do, and think back to when you first started running, what tips would you give to somebody who's just getting started as to what they should focus on so they can get the most out of running, whether it's 10 minutes a day or an hour a day or an hour a week? What are those things that you remember really helped you? Was it focusing on the right clothes to wear? Was it focusing on breathing? Did you do training? Was it socks? Was it the shoes? What are those things that you, if you knew what you knew now, you would go back and help yourself more as at the beginning?
That's a good question. I guess my answer is twofold. I mean, let's be honest, 17 years ago when I started running, the social media didn't exist. Mm. And I wish I had better documentation of how I trained when I was a novice. You know, when I was a senior in college training for my first marathon or 4 years beyond that, I just don't have it written down anywhere. So I can see my finishing time, but that does not tell the story of how I got there. And I wish I kept a little bit of a better journal. And the journal wouldn't just say sort of what the mileage is, because that's only half the story, but you know, what did I see on the run? What did I feel on the run? What did I think about on the run? Because the way I look at a run now, I certainly see running a lot differently, and it's, I'd like to think a little more of an existential view of it. So I would like to look back 17 years ago and not laugh at myself, but continue to learn and challenge myself of why am I doing this? Because that's always the question I hear. Why do you run? And my answer for why I run today is not the same answer why I run in a week. I think it's different all the time. So that's the first part. And secondly, I think if there's one aspect, I think the most important thing to really own this routine, it's going to sound cliche, but you have to be consistent. And by consistent, I don't mean you run every day. So that's the other thing that I think a lot of runners get stuck in. And the more I've run, I realize it's not just that 1 hour a day that affects your running. It's what you eat before. It's what you eat after. It's how you sleep the night before. It's how stressed you are. Everything that you do ultimately affects, whether it's running or going to the gym to work out or going for a bike ride, it affects that aspect of fitness. So when I say consistent, I mean, are you consistent with the time that you run, how much you're sleeping, how you eat? Because if you want to own fitness, and I mean the word, I mean own, I'm not saying obsess about all these things, but you have to find your balance and be consistent with it.
Makes sense. And I love what you said too about tracking. In fact, I have had a really personally the past, I'm going to just say 2 months. It's been about 7 weeks, but I've really had some health issues. Probably most of it stress related. It's been a real transitional year for me with moving and the business and all this, but that's 7 weeks of just issues. I mean, finding out there were spiders in my house that were biting my neck, and I, you know, going to see my doctor, and my hormones needed tweaked, and he's like, I think you're getting an ulcer, and I had to tweak my diet, and it's just been real frustrating. I've been off my game. I knew I was off my game. I was traveling for 2 weeks in a row, and the most beautiful thing for me is the fact that I do it in my own way. Everybody has their own way, but I keep track of every day that I train. I put it on a calendar after I train. And for me, I put a little rating on there. Was this a 5-star workout? Was this a 2 workout? When I do HIIT training, I put, you know, was that 4-star? Was it lame? What did I do today? Was I off? Did I do yoga? Or did I miss a day? And if I missed it for something like I had a migraine, I put that on there. And then usually I put an unhappy smiley face, like a reverse smiley face, because I'm sad. I'm like, I missed it. But being able for me to look back when I realized that all of a sudden my workout clothes were fitting tighter and I knew I'd put back some pounds, and I was able to go back and look at the last 7 weeks, and it didn't make me happy, but because I had tracked my journey, I'm like, here's the deal, Kelly. Out of 7 weeks, which is 49 days, you've missed 24 training sessions. And when that helped me give myself a little bit more understanding, like, hey, you didn't just wake up and your clothes are snug. Here's what happened. And how can I make sure I never let another 7 weeks go by before I notice that that's what's happening? So really love that you brought that up.
That's accountability, right, Kelly? I think that's what you're doing by writing it down. I mean, I do mine on a Google Drive, and that's to me what I need. But I learned from Dina Castor, you know, Olympic runner. When I was training for my last marathon last year, she said, just highlight the days where it was some win. It doesn't mean that you nailed your workout. It could mean that, but it could also mean you just felt alive when you're outside running. And she said, just highlight those little boxes green. So I did. And I was like, what's the point? And then about a week out, you know, it's very easy to doubt your progress and whether or not you're ready for a race. And this is if you're racing, and you pull up this massive document of 12 to 16 weeks of racing, and you see, it's just littered with green. And it was such a, this surprise emotional boost of confidence that, you know what, I worked my ass off for this race. And there are a lot of small wins in this training program that are easy to forget, because sometimes the quote unquote bad runs make us forget that we're actually kind of good at what we do, and good is relative. So seeing that big chart of green was really well timed. And if you're having one of those days where you're just having a really tough run, put it in there, whether you want to put a sad face next to it or not, but look at all the positives. I'm serious, because if you look at all the positives, you can get yourself out of that. One run does not by any means make or break how you are as a runner. It's just part of the, it's part of the process.
It's so true. And what you said about, you know, like I had this bad period, but then what was also helpful is then I was able to go back just starting in January. And guess what? I saved my calendars. In fact, I heard a, I think it was in his latest book, Tim Ferriss says that he's been journaling every single, and now obviously we know Tim Ferriss takes it to like the gazillionth level. God bless him. Got to get him on the show. Yeah. But he's been journaling everything since like the dawn of his time of adulthood. And he can go back and go, you know what? I liked how I looked or how I felt or what my strength was in this phase. Let me pull it back. So I was able to look back and say, okay, look at everything I've done this year, because I did get myself in the best shape thus far this summer. And so, okay, feel a little bit fluffier right now. Well, guess what? I got here, so I'm going to get back there, because look at all I did. So just to what you said, look at how much ass I kicked this year. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to do some more. So people really find a way, whether it's like Chris is doing. Did you say you do it in a Google Drive doc?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I suck at Google apps. I mean, my team is working with
no,
me on
this
that.
No, this is archaic. This is like analog. I mean, I don't have a Strava account. I don't, I don't know. I'm selfish. I run for myself. I mean, 5% of my job means I run for other people, but that's like my drive. And I have each marathon that I train for in its own little folder. And it's just helpful. Like it's really simple. I come back, type in what I did, and that's that. It doesn't go anywhere. It goes in some cloud on the web. I don't know, who knows, but that's where it lives.
I'm glad to know I'm not the only person that gets confused by certain things.
No.
But yeah, I'm old school. I write mine on, I get a calendar from Kathy Friedrich every year, and I write it on this actual calendar, and it's very, but it works for me and I love it. So we'll link up to maybe some really cool calendars for the show notes. I'm realizing we've got like 10 minutes left. So I want to make sure, because I want to talk about Run Weston, but sure. I do want to ask one final segue question. Really, again, for folks that are probably just starting to get running, maybe having some frustrations, or people that are thinking about running and maybe they've just been exposed to, you know, the more advanced people. It's easy to think, I did that for years. I mean, I would try to run. I wanted to be a runner, but I would go out and run and I didn't know how to breathe, but I didn't know that that was my thing. And so sometimes like when I talk and I get on stage, if I'm giving a speech, I'll go, And I start talking, but I haven't taken a breath. Well, that's what I did with running. And once I figure that out, like that was the hugest stumbling block. So my question to you is, do you have to be, and I'm setting you up for an easy answer, but you don't have to be a certain age. Is there anybody that running is not for, that is running is inaccessible for?
Yes, I do. I think so. Because you have to like it. I mean, I've had some people come to me on the job and say, oh, I hate running.
So you do hear that a lot.
Yeah, and then they look at me as if I should have some, you know, golden ticket to give to them that's going to make them all of a sudden like running. And that's not how it works. If you don't like running, then frankly, don't do it. Like that's
true.
That's my solve for that. I think there are ways to help somebody think of running differently that might put a positive spin on it. But if you hate the act of putting on sneakers and shorts and a shirt and going outside and pounding the pavement or the trails, don't do it. Like, if you like swimming, go swim. If you like yoga, go do yoga. But at the end of the day, I think the only thing that I try to preach is that living a healthy lifestyle is completely advantageous to everything in your life. So if I meet someone who is depressed and has weight to lose and has an unhealthy diet, and for whatever reason I come across and we cross paths, I would absolutely encourage them to try to run. But if they come back to you 2 months later and still hate it, I get it. We have to find something else. But that's my moral of the story.
That's a really good way to put it too, because for me, you know, and when you get into running people, if you do like it, one of the biggest tips, and you know what, Chris, I'm going to follow up with you after this, because I think when I put up the show notes, I want to have like maybe 5 beginner tips from Chris and 5 from Kelly, because you're like hardcore awesome. I'm like, I'm newbie still, like 10 years later.
But that's all relative. Like that's the journey. So just because I've been running for 17 years makes me no better or worse than you, frankly. I think the way I look at the sport may be a little more veteran, but I mean, who am I to look at anybody else's running and say mine is better or worse than theirs? I think that's honestly my one fear for running is this idea of comparison. So here we are, we're talking about what running is for me and how it's different for what it is for you. That's kind of the way it should stand, because the second I start to say that I'm running for a greater reason than you are, and maybe some people are running for weight loss or running for a lost loved one, that is intense. And does that mean that they're running for something bigger than me? No, it doesn't. That's why they run. That's why they exercise. But this, you, me, and the community listening to this, I think our job, our roles as fitness enthusiasts is to empower, not compare. And if you look at what Shalene Flanagan just did in New York, I mean, my daughter yesterday morning said, take me to the track to run 5 laps. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I did. Of course I took her to the track to run 5 laps. That was no coincidence. That's because you saw Shalene finish New York and fall to the ground and cry her eyes out. That's empowerment. Yep. And that's female empowerment. Can female empowerment transcend to overarching athletic empowerment? I think it should. I absolutely think it should. And I think this class distinction of the fast people and the not fast people is really unhealthy for the sport. And I'm a major advocate for just simply embracing people who want to live an active lifestyle. It's really that simple.
That was actually the perfect segue to the last thing I wanted to share, is that it took me a while, but when I accepted that whole, you know, there's that phrase, run your own race, stop comparing yourself. It's very easy when you start running to hear other people go, oh, well, my pace is whatever miles per hour. And I would hear that. And I'll tell you what, like my fastest pace, I'm at 5.5. And I've got people on, like I just think of Dutch DeGay. He's one of our first male ambassadors up in Boston. I mean, I swear to God, I think his casual run, and I could be making this up, I think it's like 10 miles an hour. I'm like, I've never seen, if I did 10 miles an hour, I'd drop dead. But guess what? I'm good. At 5.5, I'm good. And that's where I'm happy. And I'm not apologizing for that. No. I bet. Now, I'm just going to ask, not because I'm comparing.
Sure.
But what speed do you typically run at?
Well, it depends if I'm in training mode or just sort of maintenance mode. So if I'm like training for a marathon, you know, my easy runs will be out there between like a 7:40 and 8 minute pace on my easy days, which are 80% of the time. And then if I'm going out for a harder tempo run or a track, I'm going to start to get closer to my, like a race pace, which, you know, can be anywhere between 6:20 or 6:40, depending on what type of race it is. But I'm pretty adamant about my easy days got to be easy and my hard days have to be hard.
And when you say, okay, this is the last clarification, then I want you to tell us about Run Weston as
all
we
good.
Wrap up.
We can get to Run Weston another time. It's all good.
When we say, this is kind of like, I think when parents go, oh, well, my daughter's 17 months. And I'm like, so it's a year and 5 months. Not that I'm saying that, but when people say 8 minutes, what does that mean? Like, I only understand 10 miles an hour or six miles.
So about 7.5 miles per hour on a treadmill.
That's awesome.
It's fun.
That's my sprint, dude.
Great. But you know what I would challenge you for then? I mean, because the only thing that would upset me is if somebody, you know, you take like a race like New York, and it's when people go to these marathons, when runners go to these marathons, and they're just not trained for it. That does sort of irk me. It's like if you go through the process of signing up to run a marathon, then you kind of owe it to yourself to at least train for it. And work hard for it. Let's not settle. And I think that's sort of the distinction I like to make, because you can train your ass off and you might run a 4:15, and that is the best marathon you can run. And I applaud you more than you possibly know. Or you can go out there and you run a 3:30 marathon, but you think it's, yeah, I didn't train for it. I just wanted to run it. That's kind of a disservice, because there's about 5,000 people out there who would love to have that bib and work really hard for that bib, and they deserve it. So that's sort of just the distinction I think that needs to be stated.
Yeah, matter of respect too.
Yeah,
when I first started the company, I literally couldn't believe that I heard, and you know, we won't get into it, but that there are actually people that they. I just think you're viewing this process and this opportunity so wrongly when you are like, I don't know, getting a bib and going to some of these Disney marathons and not like going off the course and going for coffee and then finishing and lying about your finish. I thought. Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's a different, absolutely different avenue. And obviously there's just no place for that in our sport.
I know. It's crazy. Well, we are like close to closing, but you know what? Because I do want to point people. I think what Weston has been doing with this Run Weston program, you guys were ahead of the crowd. It's been around for a while. Tell those that are listening, and when we have you back, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about it. What is the Run Weston program? How long has it been around? And, you know, I think it offers some amazing opportunities on a local level all across the country.
Sure. Yeah, the Run Weston program was around before I was hired. So I was hired about 4.5 years ago. Really, the mission of it is to help keep travelers healthy on the road. Because it's frankly very difficult to maintain your routines when you travel. So that's the impetus. And then my job is to be sure that we're actually doing it. So now we have run concierges all around the globe. We have about 280 of them at about 50% of our properties. So if you, Kelly, went to our Westin Seattle Tuesday, Thursday mornings, you can go for a run with our run concierge, Theo, who gives you a 3 to 5 mile route. But if you're running with a local, so they can give you some different perspectives on what you're running near, which I think is the coolest part about the whole thing. But it's really just Weston's overall dedication to ensuring that individuals like you and potentially the listeners, if you're staying with us, we go to every means necessary to make sure that you have opportunities to stay healthy on the road.
That is so awesome. And for people that know me, my first job out of college was in the hotel space. I've been very, very passionate since founding FitFluential about really kind of, I would say almost reaching with a fitness, health, and wellness message, the folks that used to be in like my air quotes corporate life, right? The people that are working, they're traveling for business, they're road warriors, and they think that they can't eat healthy on the road. They think they can't fit in fitness. I figured out how to do it. I'm still figuring out how to do it. And when you have something like Run Weston, which is, I think, especially from a running perspective, and especially for our female audience, if you're going to go running and you're staying at one of these hotels, I think it's really cool because you're not only running with somebody who can show you locally, but to me, there's an element of safety there too.
Absolutely.
Which I think is awesome. And then if you're, not to say that dudes don't need to be safe too, but the fact that you've got someone local, I mean, that's one of the things that's really cool. Where's a great place to run that I'm not going to end up, you know, in some bad part of town or whatever. So that's epic. I want to link up in our show notes at FitFluential Radio. So as we close, Chris, why don't you tell everybody that's listening, number one, where they can find out more about that. So if they're on the road currently, they can connect with a local Weston. And then number two, where can they find you online?
Well, the easiest way is just on Twitter, just at Run Weston is the easiest one. Instagram, I have a little more fun, and it's more of my voice and my crazy kids and wife. And that's where you're going to have to try to your very best to spell my last name, which if you can do it without cheating, I don't know, that you should just get like a year free.
I can't.
Rest in safe. So my Instagram is at Chris Heisler, but the last name is H-E-U-I-S-L-E-R. Again, if you find it, congratulations. You spelled my last name. And those are probably the best two ways to stay in touch.
Awesome. Well, I know that we've hit our wall, and I want to make sure I respect your time. So for today, thank you so much, Chris, for being on the show. I'm definitely going to follow up with you for those 5 tips that we'll put in the show notes and follow up to get you back on the show, because there's so much we can talk about. We're launching the Travel Fit series. I think you guys would be great to give some perspective on that and help us educate. But for everybody listening, again, our show notes are at fitfluentialradio.com. If you have any questions in particular that we can pass on to Chris or that you'd like us to cover when he's back on the show, you can email us podcast@fitfluential.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.